All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen. I just got a text from Matt Morrell as this show opened. He said, well, the funny intro I did was ruined.
Yes, it was.
It's all right.
I don't know if my mic's on. I can't hear myself or anything.
Okay.
Anymore.
It's okay. I've been waiting all week to make this point, Ben. How are you? He's good. Here's what I'm going to say to open the show, okay? Because this has been annoying me all week long, and I just want to make this point now because this is the time to make it. The Boston Celtics, here's what I'm going to say. The Boston Celtics have struggled early this season, okay? It's been a tough go of it early. They've been losing to teams we never thought they'd lose to. They hovered around 500. I mean, the Celtics are hovering around 500. That's bad. But I'm going to say this. This is not a time to worry. This is not a situation where you go anywhere near the panic button. The Boston Celtics, although struggling early on, will be fine. Okay, do you understand me? They will be fine. They're going to still make the finals. This is not cause for alarm. This early season malaise is not cause for alarm. This is the last time I'm going to say this. I've said it since July. Talent rules in the NBA, they have the talent. They've done the hard part. Now, are they not interested in playing some defense here 6 months before the Eastern Conference Finals? Probably. Does that look good on the coach, on the team? No. But I'm telling you, here we are after Thanksgiving, just after Thanksgiving, when the games matter and when we get to the springtime and it's for real, they will play harder, they will be at their best, and this will be a team that we expected to see early on when we thought that this was going to be one of the best teams in the NBA. They will prove they're one of the best teams in the NBA, and they will arrive at the NBA Finals this June.
Well, people thought they were going to be like the 2008 Celtics that were just going to come out the gate and be hot and destroy everyone. But people are forgetting they're still the best defensive team in the league. You know, if you go by defensive rating, which a lot of people do, and that's a real stat on like things like war, if you go by defensive rating, they're the best defensive team in the league. So that's really shouldn't be much of an issue. It's getting in the flow offensively that's the problem, and you adding a new piece and trying to figure it out. Plus, you've got guys that are smelling their own farts and thinking they don't stink, and they're just not playing smart basketball right now.
You're really on that, huh? You're really on Jason Tatum.
Tatum and Brown, both of them.
Both of them.
Tatum's starting to wash a little bit of that off, but no, they both clearly, to start this season, 19 games in, they've both bought into their own hype, and they've both been selfish basketball players at times, which is not what you saw last year. Okay. And that was a big difference for this team right now.
Well, no, I'm just going to say, if that's the problem, that will also be remedied.
Yeah.
They will figure that out. They'll get their heads back on straight, whatever you want to say. That will be remedied. That will not be in it. Whatever the issues are right now, they're going to go away. They're going to get fixed, and that's the way it's going to be. So I don't want to hear about the panic. It's a convenient storyline, and it's great for Brad Stevens. I mean, I see these quotes weekly. We're not that good. We're not as good as we thought we were. No. You're as good as we thought you were. You're just not playing like it. There is so much time before the real games matter. I mean, it's just so long. It's 2 months of NBA playoffs. I mean, you could go through a malaise in the playoffs. We saw the 08 Celtics do it. I mean, they didn't win a road game in the playoffs. And you still had time to figure it out in the playoffs. Because it's so long and drawn out.
I think another thing people need to keep in mind that is not getting talked about enough is the limited minutes for everyone across the board. Everyone's minutes are, you know, some people, obviously their minutes have gone up to a certain degree, but you have two guys that are over 30 minutes per game and that's it. So there isn't a ton of continuity in the flow of an individual game because they're not playing all that time. Al Horford's under 30 minutes for the first time in his career, I believe.
Yeah.
And right now he's hurt and I understand, but he's just not good anymore. He's not the player. Not that he's not good anymore. He's still a decent player, but he's not even giving you what he was before when people were looking at him and questioning how much he's actually playing. So, you know, there's issues here. And Horford, it's about time to be done with the Horford, you know, era in Boston because he just can't give you as much as he used to. When a hustle player gets old and starts to get broken down, especially in their knees, they're not very good anymore.
All right, let me ask you a question. You're kind of... So you're worried Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are smelling themselves too much. Horford is done. Horford is over the hill. So are you concerned about this team? Are you concerned? Big picture, long term, when it matters.
I didn't think this team was going to win the title this year anyway.
Okay.
So, but in terms of making
finals,
it.
Making the finals.
It to the finals, no, I'm still not that concerned. Because again, they haven't been playing the minutes. Those star players haven't been playing the minutes they were before. And they're still trying to figure out what the rotation's going to be. You've seen it from game to game. It gets a little chaotic at times. But no, overall, I'm not worried because as when we were talking about Brown and Tatum kind of feeling themselves, you said then they'll work themselves out of it. And I agree. They will work themselves out of it. Horford is the problem, I think, of I don't know how much you can work out of these issues of getting old and being a hustle player where your dominance on the floor is predicated by hustle. Being in the right place at the right time, but making sure you bust your ass to get there and close out close out the guy that's coming to the lane. He just can't do that anymore. We've seen those guards torch him and Kyrie. Remember that stretch, that road trip where they're going to Indiana and they lose Oladipo? And then Murray and I'm forgetting his name out in Phoenix.
Devin Booker.
All guards torch them. And a big problem is that people look at like Kyrie or maybe even Marcus Smart in certain instances and go, you know, they're the problem defensively in those games. But no, they're not getting the support they need from Al. He's not closing out the way he should be closing out. That's a problem. That is the problem with this team right now, I think. And that's the problem that they do need to figure out how to remedy.
I think they're going to figure it out. Whether that's bringing in somebody else, whether that's, I don't know if you can elevate Robert Williams at this point, if he has enough experience, enough anything to kind of get on the floor and be an NBA contributing player. I was hopeful he could be Big Baby, but it doesn't appear that way. I don't buy. I mean, first of all, when I think of the Celtics and I think of their chances, I thought of Hayward, I thought of Irving, I thought of Tatum, I thought of Brown.
Yep.
I never really thought of Horford. Now, he's a big piece. You need him to produce. But I never really figured that the Celtics would need to get on his back in order to get to where they want to go.
Offensively, no. Never. Offensively.
Yeah, no.
Defensively, yes.
I like Baines defensively, too. But, yeah, is he a guy you could play a ton of minutes? No. So, I just think there's just so much time. And the people running that team are good.
We're not even a quarter away through the season. Not even a quarter of a way through the season. And I know it doesn't look great right now, but we've seen teams turn it on. Look at what the Pacers did starting in January last year. They went on a torrid pace.
Yeah.
All the way through to the end of the season, basically. You can do that. Look at what the Cavaliers have done the last couple of years. Kind of coasted through the regular season and turned it on when they needed to turn it on in the playoffs.
Well, look at what the Celtics did early. Was it early last year when they were something? They went on a huge win streak?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens. They go on a huge win streak last year. But we didn't think they could win the championship last year. So that was nice, but whatever. They even beat the Warriors, I think, throughout that win. They beat them in overtime at the Garden. So none of those things really mean anything. I guess what I'm trying to say is none of the things that happen in the NBA season early, aside from a Gordon Hayward kind of injury, really mean anything. They don't mean anything. So I'm not going to get all up in arms about some bad play here in November. There's just too much time. I mean, 5 months is a long time. The NFL season, kickoff weekend to Super Bowl Sunday, isn't even 5 months, I don't think. It's just so long. So many things change.
It's just over five.
It's just, okay.
Just about, you know, from September kickoff,
9th.
Like 9th, February about 9th, 8th for the Super Bowl.
Okay, so a little under five.
Yeah, just about.
Okay. It's just so much time. And I don't buy it. They'll find a way. And you said that you don't think they're going to win the championship. I don't think they're going to win the championship either. But I think they could get to the finals. I think they should get to the finals. Anything short of the finals is a big disappointment. Big disappointment this year. And I'm not going to, you know, we'll see once they kind of come around. The Warriors do not look like the juggernaut that we've seen. Steph Curry's out. But I'm not going to say.
And Draymond and Durant hate each other.
Sorry, but I'm not going to say the Celtics have absolutely no chance. I wouldn't pick them. But based on where we sit right now, I wouldn't say they have absolutely no chance. We'll check in again in 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If Hayward can become the player he was before, and we're starting to see step by step, you should be encouraged by what you've seen out of Hayward the last couple of games he's played. You know, you're getting closer to that guy, that talented playmaker who can score 20-plus points a game for you. You're getting closer to that guy. You can see it in the way he attacks now. He's far more confident in it. He's forgotten about that ankle to a certain extent. And that's what you've needed. You've needed that all along. You've needed him to get past that mentally. and feel right on the basketball court, and you're starting to see that. So I hope it doesn't take too much time with him. It doesn't continue on through February. You know, this next month in December, he better be hitting the floor running and going and completely forgotten about him, become the player he was before.
The Brown thing is interesting. And real quick while we're on the Celtics, Anthony Davis, they can't trade for him this year.
No. It's simple. You can't
trade for him this year.
You can't trade for him because of the Rose Rule. You can't have two Rose Rule guys on your team at the same time. And for those who don't understand what the Rose Rule is, it's pretty simple. If you sign a massive contract extension with the team that drafted you before your rookie deal is up, you're a Rose Rule player. So Kyrie did it with the Cavaliers. Anthony Davis did it with the Pelicans. You can't have them on the same team at the same time. If you were to make a deal, you'd deal Kyrie to the Pelicans. And the Pelicans wouldn't do that. That doesn't make sense for them.
I don't think this is that big a deal because I don't think you were going to package anybody that you'd want to send away on this team at this juncture just for Anthony Davis. I don't think it was going to work. I mean, Jaylen Brown and Horford, are they going to take that? They're not going to take that.
Brown, Horford, Rozier.
They weren't going to take that.
Yeah. That's about as good as you want to put a package together.
Yeah.
From what you have, and you're not going to do it. I mean, they're not going to do it. Why would you, if you're the Pelicans, take Horford's contract, you know, take Rozier and then try and have to pay him afterwards and then have to pay Brown in a couple of years?
Yeah.
I mean, Brown would be the one real intriguing piece in that, but that Brown's never going to be the player Anthony Davis is.
No. And I guess if you throw in that pick, the Kings pick, you might have had a situation where the Pelicans would think about it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure they would have done it. And I'm not, you know, maybe they would have. I don't know.
It depends. If Anthony Davis completely forces his way out,
yeah,
and Kyrie, it's clear he's not going to re-sign, then you do it. But other than that, you don't do it in season. You can't do it in season this year.
No, you can't.
And then if you looked at it after the season ends, Kyrie, we believe, is opting out, obviously. And once you re-sign him, if you do re-sign him, then you can make something happen.
I'm just trying to decide if I should be disappointed in the fact that they couldn't make this deal if they wanted to this year. Maybe I'm just trying to talk myself
you can't really be that disappointed because the rules dictate you can't do it.
I know that.
So you can't be all that disappointed. I know we all want Anthony Davis here. We would all kill for him to be in a Celtics uniform, but it's not going to happen this year. It's certainly not going to happen this season. Your best shot is wait till the offseason again, and then there's going to be every suitor lined up for him.
I think they absolutely need to conclude that the core that they have isn't good enough before they just go and break it up.
I agree.
You know, do something like that. Because this, especially with the way that the Warriors are trending here, they're trending down, and if they go out, if you get it together, you're the favorite. You're the team. You've got to see if this is going to work with Brown, with Hayward coming back from the injury. I mean, again, it's been how long? Not even a month into the season? 1 month into the season?
Yeah.
So give it some time and figure out for sure, and that's probably this year at least, will this work? Can this work? I mean, I think you'd have something to say. If these things, I don't think they will, obviously, like I've said. If these things for some reason lasted all year long and ended up derailing the season, are you massively underachieved? Then I think you're in a spot to make some conclusions. Conclusions or conclusions?
Conclusions.
Yes.
Yeah. Getting very phonetic there.
You can make some conclusions at that point.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get to that point, though, and you right the ship and you come close or make the finals and lose, that's a different kind of judgment you're making at that point.
Yeah, you know you're still on the right track, and you might just need one smaller piece to put you over the top, a la 2008 P.J. Brown, Sam Cassell, those type of deals where you need to bring in solid veterans to just, you know, go in there and make sure they knew to do their job, and that was about it.
So that's what I would do. I would make sure that it's not going to work with this group before I really go and try to shake it up, break it up, do all those things. Because keep in mind, the Warriors, you know, it's a copycat league. The Warriors have gone out and accumulated talent, added to the repertoire, whatever you want to call it. But they didn't really break it up to do that. They just kept signing people.
Their core was generally the same. I mean, their obvious core of Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson. That was the obvious core, and they weren't going to deviate from that. And then add in Andre Iguodala, even though he's coming off the bench. He's a part of that core because he's a very important bench player.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you You kind of rotate out some centers. You bring in DeMarcus Cousins for a season. No, you bring in Durant before that even. But no, you didn't mess with the core. Now, the problem, when you look at the Celtics, who's the Celtics core then? Because it seems as if the Celtics core is much bigger than those three or four guys.
Well, I think you've established that a guy like Jaylen Brown is a part of the core slash the future.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is you wouldn't give up on him. You wouldn't ship him out because you need to find a way to figure out if he's a guy that could be a part of a championship team. I just think that if they're going by what the Warriors did, that's not what they did. They added to the core. They kept adding players, better players, additional players. They didn't create a package that went out and got their Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant. They brought him in. He was a free agent. They brought him in. So if the Celtics want to make that kind of move, I'm all for it. I just don't think at this point with the ages and the synergy that I know they're kind of off kilter right now, but that they've created, it's worth getting rid of two guys like Rozier and Brown and then trying to bring in a big name. I don't think it is right now.
Liz, outside of the Warriors, the Celtics are still in the most advantageous position in the NBA, outside of the Warriors. You look at other teams that might contend this year. The Raptors, well, they're getting older, and you don't know what's going to happen in next year when people decide to...
Well, how big a picture are you talking? You talking just this year?
These two. The next 2 years, yeah. This year included.
No, they're not in as good of a position as the Celtics because the Celtics have Kyrie Irving, who's already said he wants to stick around.
Yeah.
And the Raptors have Kawhi Leonard, who we still think is on his way out, Los Angeles, somewhere else.
Yeah. And then you look at L.A. LeBron's obviously getting older. He's still the best player in the NBA, but he's getting older, and he's got guys with him that, you know, are a little shaky. You know, they're either young and inexperienced, but they're talented, or they're older guys who really just aren't that good, who might sometimes play a great game and other times just completely disappear. You know, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo, those guys.
Would you say that LeBron and the Lakers is the third best situation in the NBA?
Yes.
I think it is.
The only one that maybe Philly. Philly's in a pretty good position, too.
Yeah.
You know, but people also forget they're actually older than they even seem like they are.
Philly's okay. I don't know if they're in as good of a position as the Lakers with LeBron
and the potential
you could have in L.A. You could have some potential there, obviously, with another big name. I mean, Kawhi Leonard has really woken me up a little bit this year with what he's done with the Raptors.
Yep.
If he went there, that's a big – and then you see the Warriors drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a legitimate chance that Kevin Durant could go to the Lakers.
I mean,
you're talking about a big-time –
last I heard was the Knicks, but
– yeah, which I hope he goes to the Knicks. Please go to the Knicks.
God, that would be so dumb.
All right, let's go to break. When we get back, I want to talk about the Patriots and their game with the Jets tomorrow. What are you expecting? Do they blow them out? Do they need to blow them out? This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, again on a Saturday, 103.7 WEEI.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Call the show at 401-737-1287.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 401-737-1287. Michigan getting blown out. My apologies to my former coworker Ruthie Polinsky. What an awful game
poor,
for Michigan.
Poor Ruthie.
What an awful
poor,
game
poor
for
Tom
Michigan.
Brady.
Here's the thing. So I have a story and I'm going to make a confession, I guess, right here. So in eighth grade, this is November of 1999,
mm-hmm.
I bought and had a Tom Brady Michigan jersey, number 10.
Okay.
I wore it to school one day. And one of my friends came up to me and he said, "Oh, cool, a Tom Brady jersey." And I said, "Yeah, I wanted Drew Henson, but it's all they had."
Oh.
I could have been the cool kid with all this foresight and had the first Brady jersey in New England, and I blew it.
But instead, you're you.
And I blew it. But that's a horrible show. I mean, look, I'm a Jim Harbaugh guy. I love Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But this is a situation where you're going to have an issue because I don't know how you can avoid the hot seat after this, getting crushed. When you had the playoffs staring you in the face, obviously Ohio State's had a down year, a tumultuous year, and I know the game was in Ohio. You haven't won there since 2000, but you get crushed, you get destroyed, embarrassed. That's a tough look.
That's really bad because the other guy's the one that should be on the hot seat because
yeah.
He's just a scumbag.
Shouldn't even be
Urban
on the hot
Meyer.
Seat. Should be gone.
He should be gone, long gone. And instead, the guy who seems to be at least a decent guy is instead on the hot seat. But he's done a bad job in Michigan. It should have been turned around by now. They should be a powerhouse
well,
by
listen,
now.
Well, listen, they were 10-1 going into today. So, but you're right. He's never beaten
Ohio
State.
Doesn't matter if you're 10-1. You know the college schedule. There's enough cupcakes in there that it pads your schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go into your most important game, arguably, of the regular season, and you get your ass kicked.
You get your ass kicked. That's
up and
terrible.
Down the field.
Can't have that. That's really disappointing with the playoffs staring you in the face.
So it looks like Brady will be wearing an Ohio State jersey this week.
Okay. So according to Jeff Howe, Tom Brady did make the trip to New Jersey. He missed practice on Friday with an illness. He had a knee issue, I think, that cropped up on the injury report. Please, he's going to play. He's questionable, but if he doesn't play, I'd be shocked. He's going to play.
No, he's playing.
So
no doubt.
What do you need to see out of the Patriots in this game, I guess? Because they haven't played in 2 weeks. Last time we saw them, it was a disaster. They were teetering. People were worried. What do you need to see out of them for this game? Let's start with this game.
I don't need to see them. I think they're going to blow them out, but I don't need to see them to feel good about this team afterwards. I just want to see, you know, make sure the offense knows how to extend some drives and doesn't too many three and outs, too many drop balls from guys like Josh Gordon, which we've seen recently.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the offense just at least clicking on another cylinder and going and moving. I'd like to see them score early because this is a Jets team that refuses to score in the first quarter. And I'd like to see the defense just play a good, solid game and just kind of control that side of the ball and make sure they give Tom Brady enough time with the ball. They get on the field, get off the field. No long drives from the Jets, please.
Is there anything that could, I mean, does this game really make you feel a certain way?
No.
I mean, I guess if they don't play well, you'd feel something.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why I hate these kinds of games. Now, it's a little different.
What do you mean?
Well, because this, I feel like even if they play well, there's really not much to take away from this kind of game.
Yeah, I agree.
They're so bad. The starting quarterback of the Jets isn't even playing. I mean, Darnold isn't even playing. I mean, you really have a hard time taking away a lot if they play well. If they don't play well, then you take stuff away. But that's a sucky situation.
No, because you should beat the brains out of this team.
And they have too many games like this within the AFC East. And this is what we talked about when they played the Bills. This is why we don't like this kind of situation. And everybody got mad that we want them to play hard games, and they all got mad. Yes, I like a test.
Oh, I'm sorry. We preferred the Patriots-Packers matchup more than the Patriots-Bills matchup.
Game does nothing. You want them to win, but if they win, it's like, all right, good, they win. Now it's next week. Who do they play next week? Is that the Vikings next
week?
So it's a natural
it's back
team.
At home against the Vikings, which is a big game, and that's that game you're looking at and saying, what can we take away from this one heading into, you know,
I think
the last four games of the season.
You're a little higher on the Vikings coming to New England than I am.
A little bit.
I don't really think that's – I think they win that game pretty easily. But I just don't think you take much away from this game at the Jets with the current state of that organization. Now, they're coming off a bye, whatever that means. You can't take much away, and that's depressing because you're dying to take something away. You'll take something away from at Miami, at Pittsburgh. That's when you'll take stuff away. And you can take stuff away from the Vikings game.
Absolutely.
But again, that game's at home.
Say what you want about the Vikings. They still have a ton of talent offensively. They still have good players defensively. They just have not had the year that many expected them to. But they're still a talented team.
I'm just saying the Patriots have proven they can beat some teams and good teams at home. They've proven that.
Yeah, unfortunately, they haven't proven it on the road.
No, and that's what they've got to do. So those are the games that interest me. That's what interests me most, I guess, about this game, that it is on the road. So good. It's on the road. Let's see what happens. That's a little thing. Be nice. I'll tell you what I'd like to see. This is what I'd like to see, and this is what I'm going to look for tomorrow. I would like to see Tom Brady play well and look like Tom Brady. I'd like to see that. I would.
No mistakes, no wildly errant passes.
Look like an MVP for one game.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it just once, just for one game, on the road, one game, look like an MVP. Because that game in Tennessee was a little alarming, a little bit. I'm not alarmed. I still think they'll get it together. I don't think the offense will be the ultimate downfall of this team. But it would be nice on the road against a team that has played you tough through the years at their place,
yeah,
for the most part, to look like Tom Brady in this game. I think that'd be a nice thing to see.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, especially after the Titans game, are talking about, you know, the offensive line getting pressure up on Brady. That's been the blueprint for well over a decade. You get pressure right up front, right in the middle of that line, get up in front of Brady, cause him to have to move around in that pocket a little too much. That's the blueprint to beat Brady. So everyone looks at a loss like they had against Tennessee and say, oh, well, I'm worried about them now. It's not like they would string those games together. Do you ever remember 2-3 in a row where the other team was just teeing off Brady? Because I don't. It doesn't happen. They make great adjustments when it comes to that stuff.
No, but there was a time where I didn't remember them losing two games in a row or looking poor in two straight games, and that happened this year.
That's fair.
But yeah, this is a team that you've had some issues with at their place over the years historically.
Mm-hmm.
Brady's coming off a game where he played poorly.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a nice spot with all sort of the rhetoric and all the noise out there with the way that the team's been playing, with the way the offense has been playing. For Tom Brady to come out and look like Tom Brady, this would be a very nice spot, a nice time, and a nice thing to see.
Yeah, it would be. I'd also like to see other members of the receiving core actually get going and get separation from their man, because the only one that's really doing it right now is Edelman. This is the only one. I'd like to see Gronk be actually healthy and return to some semblance of that previous Gronk form, which we have not seen all year.
And that, now that we're talking it out, this is a good point. Gronk. Wouldn't it be nice to cut, based on what I just said about Brady, wouldn't it be nice to say the same thing about Gronk? Wouldn't it be great if they had a big game, the two of them? It'd be huge. It'd be a huge shot to the arm of the offense.
It would renew a lot of faith fans have in this team as a Super Bowl contender. Because right now, I mean, other than the Steelers in the AFC, you don't look at anyone, and the Chiefs, you don't really look at anyone. And there's a couple of really big powerhouses, you know, the Rams and the Saints out in the NFC. Patriots don't look any better than any of those teams, really.
No.
And if you have Brady and Gronk clicking on all cylinders, they look like the best team in the AFC again. Even with that high-powered offense in Kansas City, even with that team in Pittsburgh, if Gronk is playing the way Gronk could at his best, this team is still the best team in the AFC. But are we ever going to see that again? And that's the worry. That's the fear. And I sadly don't think we're ever going to see Gronk at his best again.
I don't think we can sit here and say that. I mean, you couldn't. Would you be surprised if tomorrow you had 3 touchdowns and 120?
I would be a little surprised.
Really?
Yeah. If he had 3 touchdowns, 120 yards, we just haven't seen that type of game out of him in a long time. It's not just this year. Keep going back.
I would love to see it. I would not so much 3 touchdowns, 120, but I would love to see Gronk be a force down the seam, touchdowns. I mean, now this is a moment. To say that he's due would be an overstatement, but it'd be a very timely game for him to erupt. Is that fair? I mean, is that, you know what I'm saying? This would be a very timely moment for him and Brady to really ball out.
Now, I don't say this often, and I don't wish quarterbacks would do this that often, but this is one of those games where I kind of want to see Brady force a couple into Gronk. Tight coverage, let him go make the play, because we haven't seen him really try to do that all year. Yeah. Part of that's because Gronk's not getting the separation that he used to get. That's a major part of it. But I'd like to see Brady throw a little more trust in him and say, I know he's covered, but that guy's got the biggest hands out there.
Yeah.
So let the star go get it.
Okay.
I'd like to see more of that from Brady. A little more confidence, a little more faith in Gronk.
All right, if you want to talk about letting Brady force some into Gronk, I don't like that wording. If I would love to see them feature Gronk, try to get him involved early and often and make him a big part of the game plan, that's what I would love to see.
Instead of force it, you know, have a little more faith. Have a little more confidence in him. And make those throws. You have confidence in yourself, Tom. Have a little confidence in Gronk to make those catches. Not necessarily force him in, but if it seems a little tighter than you'd necessarily love it to be, let him make the play.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not force it in when he's triple coveraged. But if a guy's on him, let the superstar go make the play and see if he still has it.
I think it would do a lot for this team if those two guys have a big game.
Absolutely, and it would put fear in other teams again.
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't think any team is really, truly fearing the Patriots right now.
Because let me tell you what I'll do if I see Tom and Rob have a very productive day, okay? What I'll do is easily be able to talk myself into the Patriots becoming, again, one of the top contenders in the NFL. And if I can do it, other people will be able to do it, and other teams will be able to do it. Because did you watch the Monday night game? Chiefs, Rams.
Yeah.
Okay. It's clear, and the Super Bowl last year, it's clear that defense has now...
It's been nerfed.
It's been nerfed. It's taken a back seat. It's been put in timeout. I mean, defense, I hate to say this, but it is not what it was. Defense wins championships. I just don't know.
Because you can't do anything anymore on defense. You can't just outright hit people anymore. You can barely touch them as a cornerback anymore. touch a wide receiver. You can't do anything on the defensive side anymore. They've just limited so much because they want to see offense, offense, offense. But I don't want to see every game be 50-48.
Because what I'll do is
I don't want to see 90-plus points scored.
No, I don't like that either.
It's too. I mean, it was fun to watch.
It was fun
as a one-off, but that's becoming more of the trend, sadly. And I like a little more offense, but I don't want defense to be completely nerfed where it almost has – you could just put any old jag back there because they're going to give up points anyway.
What I would do, though, is if Brady and Gronk look good and they look like themselves, then I'll be able to say, okay, well, how'd the defense look? If the defense looked okay, and we don't expect the defense to get shredded by the Jets tomorrow. But then I go further, and I think about what they did against Patrick Mahomes early in that game, early in the first half of that game. Okay, then I think about some other times where they looked good in spots. Then I say, the NFL defense isn't what it once was. You don't need to play defense the way you had to. All of a sudden, you can talk yourself right into the Patriots being right in the middle of things again. So this is it's big if Brady and Gronk look like Brady and Gronk. So I guess tomorrow does feature a big situation and a big spot for a few people on that Patriots team. And if they win, it's not just, okay, good, whatever they want.
Yeah, you just rolled over a 3-7 Jets
team. If Brady and Gronk look good, that will be something to take note of. That would be a big development tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be big. It's going to be big. Not just for the, as you said, not just for the actual production, but for the psyche of the team. And for the fan base, but who cares about that?
Yeah, but also to be able to go into a game with a psychological edge of the other team being afraid of what you can do them offensively. Titans clearly weren't at all. They were not worried one bit about what the Patriots' offense could do. Mm-hmm. And without Gronk there, and even if Gronk's out on the field, but he's not being productive like he has been for the majority of the season, just not very overly productive, they don't fear him anymore. You've seen plenty of guys have come out and talked either trash about Gronk or excited to match up with him when they wouldn't have been before. 2-3 years ago, they wouldn't have talked trash and they wouldn't have been excited to face him. Now they are. And that should kind of show you what a lot of you need to know. This is not a feared team anymore.
No, but that doesn't mean they can't be. That doesn't mean Gronk couldn't be the player.
Completely agree.
That he only needs to be it for a few games. Tomorrow is a spot for him. Key spot, key situation. Step up. Then you can go back and kind of not. We said we want him to be featured tomorrow. Okay, feature him tomorrow. If he plays well, you don't have to feature him against the Vikings. If he can contribute and help you win, great. But you don't have to feature him. If you don't want him run down, run out before the playoffs, don't feature him. Feature somebody else. Feature Edelman. Feature Michelle. I mean, they love feeding Michelle. Just feature Michelle. Try to get the win that way and then use Gronk where you can, when you can. But tomorrow is a game where Gronk should be featured. Not just for the production, but to get him going again. To say this is ridiculous that he only has one touchdown the entire season. And for the psyche of the team. And for Tom Brady, but the team. You need them to believe that Gronk is still Gronk and that he is there and he is available and he's going to produce. It's a big day for Gronk. It's a big day for the Patriots and that offense. Tom Brady, obviously. All right, when we get back, there was a column that came out earlier in the week. Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston, talking about declaring that this season would be the end of the Patriots dynasty. We're going to talk about that next. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Tom Curran had an article earlier in the week. It was a good article, intriguing piece, but he basically declared that after this season, the Patriots dynasty would be over. Gronk will not be in the Patriots plans in the future.
Yep.
Won't be in a Patriots uniform next year. And there are no reinforcements. There's no plan B. I think he referred to it as version 3.0. Your thoughts, do you agree?
How can you really plan for a version 3.0 when you deal away a young quarterback who you think's going to... Once you do that, there is no 3.0. It's just 2.0 extended as much as you can. So there, I believe him in, you know, his assertion that there is no 3.0. There is no backup plan here.
Well, believe him. There isn't.
There isn't.
There's nothing to believe. Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless Bill has some plan going on with other things, but clearly he doesn't.
Is the dynasty over after this year?
If Gronk and Brady are gone, yes. If just Gronk's gone, no. They still have another year.
So you agree with me. You agree that it is irresponsible. Maybe that's not the word. It's not you cannot say that the dynasty is over until either Brady or Belichick are gone.
Agreed.
That's how it is. Now, is there a 3.0? No, there's not. But you can, I don't think you can say it officially and make a conclusion until one of those two is gone. Can't do it. Not until one of those two is gone.
I think the only way the dynasty gets to continue for another 2 or 3 years or there is a 3.0 at all is if Belichick's gone and it's Brady and McDaniels leading something.
There's no 3.0.
I don't either. I'm just trying to give you the only way that there could be because you've seen the types of moves Bill has made. It's not a move to really strengthen this team right now.
No.
You know, a trade deadline goes by and you don't make a deal. You see other teams making deals and they get exponentially better because of it. And the Patriots stand pat. We've looked at, you know, certain issues with the wide receiver core. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you adding here? You were supposedly in on Golden Tate. Why don't you go out and just make sure you got Golden Tate as a, you know, a solidifying presence here on the wide receiving core, a fantastic wide receiver.
That's a good point. Why don't you just go out and get him? You know, you
when
might,
it's only going to cost you a third round pick.
So offer a second. If you need him now, offer a second.
I agree.
Would I have traded a second for Golden Tate? That's a separate discussion.
Yes.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you know,
I'm with you.
I mean, it's not like Bill doesn't hear the birdies in his ear. If you know that it's going to take a third to get X player, well, offer a second. If it's going to take a fifth, give him a third or a fourth. Make sure you get the guy.
Or just say, okay, it's going to take a third. We'll give you a third and a seventh. That other team's just going to give you a third. We'll give you a third and a seventh, third and a sixth.
Don't play games with Michael Bennett. Just go get him.
Yep.
Make sure you get him. That's what needs to change. This whole bargain basement thing needs to change.
I hate it.
That's the thing that needs to change with Tom Brady in this current situation. Old, on the way down, and at the end. I mean, you need to get the guys now. Now. Once Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, you foregoed. Foregoed? I mean, you just kissed away the whole whatever was going on, the process. You kissed it away. 3.0, all that was gone when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded. So the process and managing the cap the certain way and bargain basement and being efficient and managing these picks and planning for the future. I'm always thinking 2 years ahead. All that's gone. All of it's gone. All you can do now, and maybe it's not your fault. Maybe it's Robert Kraft's fault. All you can do now, though, if you want to win, is win with Tom Brady. And that means trading away. I mean, the next coach could be screwed. The franchise could be screwed for a decade. But that's kind of the bed you made. And whatever. That's where we're at here. Because that's where we're at here. Before I get to this other thing I want to say, that's where we're at here. You've got to plan now like there's no tomorrow. And you've got to get guys for right now. You don't know how long Tom Brady has left. You don't know how much longer he'll be. Even Bill Belichick doesn't know how much longer he'll be productive.
Agreed.
He doesn't even know that.
He has previously said in the past he doesn't want to be into his 70s coaching like Marv Levy.
No, I'm not talking about Bill. I'm talking about, no, you're right. I'm talking about Tom Brady, though. Even Bill Belichick doesn't know how much longer Tom Brady can be productive. He probably has a better idea than any of us, than Max Kellerman, but he doesn't know. And he doesn't know, he's not going to fall off the cliff, but he doesn't know how far he'll drop, how fast he'll drop, how limited he could be. You don't know. He doesn't know. So you've got to get all the help you can do now. And I'm just going to say this one more time. Defense. I know it's not a defensive league anymore, but that's still the way to go. The best thing I saw in the last few years, not the best thing, but what I would love to see here is what the Denver Broncos did for Peyton Manning. God, would I love to see that. How they loaded up on defense and they got a defense that could carry Tom Brady.
Well, hold on. What's the other thing they did too? They brought in offensive weapons for him. Remember? They acquired Wes Welker. They brought in weapons.
Well, Welker was gone by that point.
Manning?
He wasn't on the team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he arrived with Manning.
I know, but I'm saying when they won the Super Bowl, Welker wasn't there.
Oh, but it doesn't matter. It was
they
still,
were still trying to help
it
him.
It was still the process of...
Oh, he was productive when he was there.
We're giving you the tools you need to succeed so we, as an organization, can win a Super Bowl. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you didn't do that going into this season. You waited until a couple weeks into the season and went out and got Josh Gordon, which I applauded you for.
Yep, me too.
You applauded them for. But there was other options available, too. I don't like Demaryius Thomas. I wouldn't have liked that, but Golden Tate I certainly would have liked in this offense. And you just didn't go out and get them. It's not like the Eagles came in so high on Golden Tate and way overpaid for him. You easily could have matched that and thrown in just a little bit to make it a better deal for the Lions.
I have a developing thought. I guess what I'm trying to say, I wanted to finish the thought I just had. Let's go to, we got a few more minutes here. The first thing I want to say is that Denver Broncos team, here's a big thing, the Broncos, this is what I wanted to say. A big thing that the Broncos had that the Patriots don't have is the institutional stud defender. They had Von Miller. That's who they had. The Patriots don't have that guy. So you're already starting from behind the eight ball because they don't have that guy. They've got some nice guys. They got Stephon Gilmore. He's played a good year. They've got Devin McCourty, who's solid. Bill raves about him. They've got some Hightower, but he's on his way down. I mean, they've got some decent guys, but they don't have Von Miller at the peak of the absolute prime, height of his powers, best arguably defender in the league that season.
Yep.
They don't have that guy.
No, not even close.
So that's something that the Patriots would have to overcome if they were ever going to implement that plan.
Is there anyone on the defense that's top five positionally?
Top five?
At their position?
I think you could maybe make an argument. Could you make an argument that Stephon Gilmore this year has played close to a top five corner in the league?
Yeah. I mean, it would be five.
Five.
But, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Other than that, you know, McCourty is not the McCourty of old. You know, 5 years ago, was McCourty a top five safety?
McCourty of old. What is the McCourty of old?
He was a damn good player.
Did you see, by the way?
But he's not what he was before.
No, he's not. He's always been a good player.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. There was a play, and we don't have video because this is the radio. There was a play that his name is Eddie Jackson. Okay, he plays for the Bears. And I don't know if you're watching on Thanksgiving Day against the Lions. Matt Stafford, by the way, what a dog crap quarterback. You gave him all that money. What a disgrace. They should all be fired. I would cut him tomorrow. That's rash, but he sucks. He's never going to take you anywhere. Anyway, Eddie Jackson, Bears. Go watch the play. I tweeted it. If you want, go to my Twitter at Mark Dondero. He made a play. It was the fourth quarter. It was a game-winning play. Stafford was going for the tight end. I forget which tight end it was. Jackson just saw it, read it, cut. He cut off the tight end, and then he picked six. That's it.
Yeah, jumped the route.
Jumped the route. That is a play that I have yearned for years to see a Patriots defensive back make. They don't make them. Not since Asante Samuel. Even Malcolm Butler, as good as he was while he was here, he never made that play other than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he did jump that route, but it was designed specifically for him to. There was nothing other than what he was supposed to do was go in. That's exactly what he was supposed to do. So it wasn't really an instinctual play for Malcolm Butler. They knew exactly what they needed him to do. He knew exactly what it was designed for him to do exactly what he did. So it's not like he made this really heady play like someone like Samuel would or Ty Law would. Ty Law was the king of that.
Yeah, an Ed Reed instinctive play.
Yep.
Teddy Bruschi was good at that, honestly, from the linebacking spot.
Absolutely, very good at it.
Those kinds of plays, I just wish Devin McCourty would make. Now, he's always in position. He's always been a solid player. He has good range back there playing center field. But he doesn't make those kinds of plays, playmaker kinds of plays. That is a guy that I love on defense.
But you know what you do see him make? He makes a lot of tackles when nobody else on the defense could get there.
Sure.
He still has that speed. That is one of the great assets of Devin McCourty is that speed is still there. And he, unfortunately, there's been too many times where you see him actually, you know, need to make that play, chase the guy down from behind and make a play on the 15 before he trots in for a touchdown.
All right, let's go to break. When we get back here, I have a question specifically for you about the Patriots, about Tom Brady and what we're going to see going forward, not just this season, but into next season and maybe the season after. That's coming up when we get to the top of the hour here. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.